Once again, welcome for worship this morning. Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is kind of an interesting and strange one, but I want to start with a story. When I was in elementary school, everything seemed so much clearer. There were kind of two groups of kids. There were the good kids, and there were the bad kids. And it seemed as if everyone knew which was which. I'm not going to say which group I was in. But there was a young man, one of my classmates. His name was Harold. And Harold was one of those kids that I think probably most everybody would have said was not one of the good kids. I wouldn't say he was a bad kid. I'm not sure there is such a thing. But they wouldn't have put him in with that group they called the good kids. And Harold used to kind of bully people and bully his little sister. One day, Harold was being particularly difficult, and I had had enough of it. By then, I had grown into be slightly stronger than most people, and I don't know, something in me just snapped, and I picked Harold up, and I put him in a locker, and I shut the door. As if somehow that was going to change Harold. Is I a good kid? A bad kid? A hero? A bully? Or all of it at once? My intentions were good, but the actions were really quite despicable. Sometimes it's not as easy to tell good kids from bad kids. In our gospel for today, Jesus tells a parable about the dominion of heaven and says that it can be compared to someone who sows good seed in his field, but then someone comes while everyone's asleep, the evil one, he explains later, and sows bad seeds among them. And in the gospel parable, the slaves, when everything begins to come up and suddenly there are weeds in with the wheat, the slaves, the servants want to know, what should we do about that? Didn't you sow good seed, master? What should we do? Should we pull them up? Should we put them in a locker? Should we throw them away? And in the parable, the master says, no, let them grow up together, weeds and wheat, that in uprooting the weeds, you not uproot the wheat as well. Let both grow together until the harvest. And then it gets a little dicey. It's a little tough for us who consider ourselves to be kind of liberal Lutherans or whatever. Because in the story, the instruction is that eventually the wheat will be put in one place and that the weeds will be gathered and bundled and burned in that fiery place that is so described so often among those who would judge us. There's a tendency to simplify and apply this parable to our daily life. To say, look, it's not that hard to tell who's good and who's bad. It's not that hard to put the wheats and the tares in two different places, but it turns out it's actually far more difficult than we think. And I think, as the parable makes clear, it's also not our job. It's not our job because we're just plain terrible at it. And history will show that to be true. Because what is good and what is evil, what is acceptable and what's not acceptable seems to change so readily and so capriciously in our society. When Martin Luther King Jr. was doing his work with his brothers like John Lewis, who recently died, for much of white America, they represented what was evil and wrong. I certainly don't feel that way. As a matter of fact, I got to thinking that in our rush to simplify who is wheat and who is weed, I got to thinking about Jesus, because I really believe that for many of the religious leaders of his time, Jesus was weed, not wheat. He would have been numbered among those who needed to be gathered and bundled and put away. And he was. They even accused him, as it says in the latter part of our gospel, of being a seed of the devil. So maybe it's not as easy as we think to figure out who was wheat and who was weed. And maybe this parable isn't intended for us to do so. In explaining the gospel parable, Jesus says, "The one who sows the seed is the Son of Man, and the good seed are the children of God's dominion, and the weeds are the children of the evil one. And the harvest is the end of the age, of which we have nothing to do." Instead, we hear over and over again from Jesus, not that we should judge one another, or that we should decide who is in or who is out, who is acceptable or unacceptable, who is a winner or a loser, but rather that we should love one another with all our hearts and soul and mind. It's just not as obvious as we think to figure out what's going on. Look at our story in Genesis. If you read all of the stuff around this part of Genesis, we know early on that Esau and Jacob have been fractured, that Ishmael was set out with his mother to be murdered by Abraham. And it's hard to imagine that any good could come of any of it. They each had their own thing. Esau despised his family inheritance. Jacob stole that inheritance from Esau. Ishmael was the one who was put away as the son who was not legitimate. And on its face, it seems as if they are all wrong. But if you read Genesis, you find that Esau goes to Ishmael to find a wife, that Jacob is in fear of Esau as he goes to meet him, and that as he is there at Beersheba and went to Haran, he puts his head on a pillow and he dreams about this ladder. And it turns out that all of his assumptions and all of the stuff that he worried about were for nothing, because God came to him as his head was upon that rock and said, "I am the Lord of God, your God, the God of Abraham and Isaac, and the land on which I lie I will give you and to your offspring." No, God says to Jacob and to us, that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. And what God has promised Jacob and us is that God will make us God's own. It's more complex than we think. Who is good and who is bad, who is holy and who is evil, is just not something within our purview. Instead, Jesus encouraged us to live as good seed, and to leave whatever judgment there is to be judged to God. Jesus reminds us to love as if there is no limit. no limit to what God will do and the way that God will shower us with God's peace, just as God did for Jacob. Jesus calls us to live as if love is the only way for us. Whether that love expresses itself in generosity or openness or standing up for those who are less powerful, for saying in public what is clearly wrong, what breaks us down like racism and misogyny. We need still to live as if love is the only way. And then Jesus calls us to risk as if grace were real for us and for everyone. And lastly, Jesus calls us weed and wheat living together to give of ourselves for the sake of Christ, whose burden is light and yoke is easy. There's nothing simple about it. It's not like we can wake up and say, there's a weed and there's a wheat, or today I'm a weed and tomorrow I'm wheat, or any of it. We are both at the same time. And yet God grows us for love. I don't know what happened to Harold in the long run. I lost track of him when I moved away to California. But I will say this about Harold, that after that day when he had the experience in the locker, he kept a wary eye on me. I don't know if that was good or bad. I don't know if I was good or bad. And I still don't. But I do know this, that God has called me and you to live as good seed. Amen.